This is Marvin Curtis, your host for Lift Every Voice, celebrating the African-American spirit here on WUBS, sponsored by the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Stay with us for the 10-week series on the life and love and creation of African-American music in America.
Talked about shows you born.
This is Marvin Curtis, your host for Lift Every Voice, celebrating the African-American spirit, a 10-week series on African-American music in this country, sponsored by the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Last week we talked about African music, and this week we're going to talk about the creation of one of the great parts of African-American music, the spiritual. But first, a little bit of history. From 1619 to 1808, white Americans imported West Africans to this country as slaves. At the time of the first U.S. census in 1790, there were 757,000 Africans, most of whom lived as enslaved in the South, of a total population of 4 million whites. By 1860, there were 4.4 million Africans in America, 90% of whom were enslaved. It must be remembered that there was a constitutional provision that counted slaves only 3/5 as much as a free person in determining congregational representation. The 1790 census and subsequent censuses up to 1860 made separate tallies for blacks who were slaves and those who were free. Slavery was abolished in 1880, though Africans were still being imported. The understanding of the hierarchy of the African who was enslaved in Christianity reveals how the Christian ideas were viewed by Africans in the 19th century America. They viewed God as a kind of benevolent spirit, Jesus as a child of God whose function was to protect and provide solace, and the Holy Spirit as representing the ancestors who were ever present. The enslaved African enjoyed no freedom of religion, and most of their religious instruction was meant to serve the slave master's purpose. Christian beliefs taught to the slaves omitted the concepts of human brotherhood and equality. Christian teachings were used to convince slaves that they were enslaved by God's will, that they did not deserve freedom, and that the devil created their desire for liberty. Runaways, when caught and whipped, were taught not to complain and to heed the biblical passage that reads, "He that knoweth his master's will and doeth it not, shall be beaten with many stripes." Slave children were taught in Sunday school, and they were allowed to go, that they must be obedient to their overseers to avoid eternal damnation. They were taught the slave beatitudes. Blessed are the patient. Blessed are the faithful. Blessed are the cheerful. Blessed are the submissive. Blessed are the hardworking. And blessed are the obedient. However, the West African religion of the African taught them otherwise. So these Africans sought other biblical sources to support their religious beliefs. They found their theology in the text of Old Testament freedom fighters. In those stories, they saw God raise up leaders to deliver his chosen people out of bondage. The God of the Old Testament performed mighty miracles. He delivered children out of Israel out of bondage, Daniel from the den of lions, the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, so why not every man? The black theologian James Cone explained it this way. To be enslaved was to be declared nobody, and their form of existence contradicts God's creation of people to be his children. The slaves rejected the white distortion of the gospel, which emphasized the obedience of slaves to their masters. That's why the spiritual focuses on biblical passages that stresses God's involvement in the liberation of an oppressed people. Using the African musical structure of the call and response and the stories of faith, hope, and liberation, the enslaved Africans produced a musical genre that gave the African community a chance to comment on the situation. It provided each member a sense of belonging in the midst of a confusing and terrifying world. The enslaved believed that God would hear their prayers, and they held on to a faith in ultimate justice. For generations, African Americans told each other, "He may not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time." We're going to listen to A City Called Heaven sung by Louise Toppin. A City Called Heaven, sung by Louise Toppin. Although the spiritual often uses a biblical story as its foundation, its genius lies in the coded language of the story's subtext. The psalm text, "How Can We Sing the Lord's Song in a Strange Land?" was particularly relevant to the slaves who became, because Africans could not sing their songs, play their drums, or dance to their music in America. Since most of these songs were sung in front of overseers and in the presence of white clerics, the message had to be subtly provided. And hopefully to publicize upcoming events for the slave while lulling their masters into a false sense of security. As African anthropologist Hugh Tracy writes, in the African society, you can say publicly in song but you cannot say privately to a man's face. We have several examples of that in our lexicon of words. In the spiritual, you'll find the word River Jordan, which in the Old Testament was one thing, but for the slave, it was the dividing line between slave land and free land, a river chilly and cold that could not stand still. such as the Ohio River, that once you cross that, you're into freedom. Egypt, land of slaves where free men emerged. The country symbolized the drive for freedom, the land of miraculous deliverance. The character of Daniel, a man of great faith in God, proof that all men could resist slavery and be delivered. Jonah, those who disobeyed the will of God, not necessarily the masters, would suffer severe distress. However, God's servants could repent and be delivered. The Red Sea, God's sentence of death upon pursuers of the chosen people. Jericho, site of any battle where the forces of good overwhelm the Philistines, evil people of the earth. Cana, free or promised land, was also sought as Canada. Pharaoh, oppression overcome and destroyed, as the slave master was. Moses, deliverance of a whole people, true leadership and individual freedom. Joshua, a miracle worker who sacked heavily fortified Jericho and gained God's confidence, a man who finished his job. Gideon, evidence of how a small band could work together to overcome overwhelming forces. And David, hero, shepherd, fighter, musician, ancestor of Christ. Heaven for the enslaved was not just another world, as they were told from their white pulpits, but rather symbolized freedom in Africa, Canada, or the northern United States. Canaan land or Beulah land, for example, represented Canada. At the same time, on the religious level, heaven was the place where the oppressed would lay down their heavy loads and where slaves would put on their robes, pick up their harps, and put on their shoes. Heaven was where they would sit down with Jesus at the welcome table and eat a gospel feast with milk and honey. On earth, their diet was chiefly cornmeal with salt. Heaven was a place with golden streets, pearly gates, and crystal fountains, and where the inhabitants wore long white robes. On earth, the enslaved walked on dusty roads. Their homes were surrounded by barbed wire fences, guarded by patrollers. They drank water from muddy streams and old wells and wore rags for clothing. Heavenly transport was provided by golden chariots. On earth, enslaved Africans usually walked. Bright mansions above would replace their broken down shacks. And heaven was a place for meeting relatives, particularly parents. Finally, the spiritual text frequently used the symbol of King Jesus, the liberator, divine but born as a human by Sister Mary in Bethlehem. For the enslaved, Jesus represented the caretaker who dedicated his life to caring for the poor, the blind, and the sick. The slave master served Jesus only on Sunday and without emotion. However, Jesus knew the daily plight of Africans enslaved unjustly and provided them a source of comfort. He had borne the pain of crucifixion, just as they bore the pain of the whip. Jesus suffered rejection by mankind, but he triumphed over death and became all-powerful. Within the slave community, these words had double meanings. When it came time to escape, Harriet Tubman would use different kinds of songs, different kinds of ways of letting people know it was time to go, or even using the earth itself. We're going to listen to a particular spiritual called Follow the Drinking Gourd. And Follow the Drinking Gourd talks about following the North Star. But the slave master did not know that, because the enslaved drank out of gourds shaped like dippers. Thus, the big and the small dipper in the sky. So the enslaved Africans, using their genius, created a song that only the community understood, but the master did not. Follow the drinking gourd.
Follow the drinking gourd. Followed the drinking gourd, for the old man is awaiting for to carry you to freedom if you follow the drinking gourd. The river ends between two hills. Follow the drinking gourd. There's another river on the other side. Follow the drinking gourd.
If you follow the North Star, it will lead you to freedom. We knew that, but the masters did not. In many cases, the enslaved Africans would use their music to send signals to each other, to find ways of comfort for each other, and to provide a coded language that we still use today in African American music. Slaves, the enslaved Africans sang for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they were forced to sing so the overseers would know where they were. Unlike black people depicted in the Hollywood movies of the 1930s or the 50s that glorified the Old South and the Civil War, enslaved Africans did not raise their voices in joining Thanksgiving for being in America. They raised their voices most often to sing about injustice. Since the spirituals were community-composed songs, their words and tunes varied from region to region. For example, most of us know the three well-known verses of Godaw Moses. Less familiar are the 25 verses printed in the book, The Jubilee Singers of Fisk University. There are 25 verses to Godaw Moses telling the entire Exodus experience. We're going to listen to the famous voice of Marian Anderson as she sings one of the great spirituals of all time, Deep River, My Home is Over Jordan. Again, a coded song. My home is over where? Jordan, across that Ohio River. The great Marian Anderson singing Harry T. Burleigh's arrangement of Deep River.
Thank you.
What we are hearing today are arrangements of these wonderful songs. The lesson with the piano. But as we know, the enslaved African did not have pianos or instruments in the fields, but they sang themselves in a rhythm, a cappella, to themselves and for themselves. There was also a part of the language of the spiritual that we'll talk about next week. But I want to play another piece for you that most people don't believe is a spiritual, don't think it's a spiritual until they understand it. This is Marian Anderson singing "Let Us Break Bread Together." Fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun. Why to the rising sun? Because Africa was east of where these enslaved people were. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. And of course, the freedom fighters were part of the spiritual text, as we heard earlier, Moses, Daniel, David, even Samson. But here's one of the more famous ones. This is Oral Moses singing about Daniel. Didn't my Lord deliver him?
Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? And why not every man? He delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Jonah from the belly of the whale, and the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. And why not every man? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? And why not it blows by judgment day, and every poor soul that never did pray will be glad to pray that day. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? And why not the every man? I set my foot on the gospel ship, and the ship, it began to sail. It landed me over on Canaan's shore, and I'll never come back no more. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? And why not every man?
Oral Moses singing, "Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel?" So what we've learned today, I hope, is that the spiritual had several pieces to it. It was a song of comfort, a song of strength, a song of sorrow, but also a song with a coded meaning to it. That the enslaved Africans used the freedom fighters as their text to show, as they did in Africa, how a small person could overcome a large person. In this case, the slave master. Also that the slaves were not the quote-unquote happy darkies that sang for Miss Anne at her feet, but they sang songs of protest and liberation. It was a community-composed song for each other, a way of bringing comfort, a source of stability to their lives, a way of communicating with each other, a way of being one with another. But not only were the spirituals about those kinds of things, they were also about things that happened in the life of their lives in terms of the holiday season. One of the most famous, Mary Had a Baby, has several different tunes to it. And we're going to listen to Jesse Norman's version of Mary Had a Baby, celebrating Christmas. The great Jesse Norman, Mary Had a Baby. Our time is coming to a close, but next week we'll spend some more time on the spirituals, but this time we'll listen to choral arrangements. Those arrangements were done in the 1900s and into the 2000s by composers who took this beautiful music and arranged it for choirs to sing. So we learned the spiritual served as both a deeply religious song and a vehicle for conveying coded messages. Tune in with us next week as we listen to Lift Every Voice, celebrating the African-American spirit on WUBS, sponsored by the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. And I am your host, Dr. Marvin Curtis.